Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
God will forgive you your sins is milk. Grow up and walk in purity is solid food. So when we teach God's word and you get angry over talking about righteousness, you are a baby.
In this part of our Divine Next, Pastor Neil focuses on the importance of growing up spiritually. He reminds us that spiritual growth is essential. It moves us past basic faith and helps us become more like Christ. But what happens when we stop growing? Pastor Neil compares spiritual immaturity to an adolescent trapped in an adult's body. Someone who appears mature outwardly but hasn't grown inwardly. He outlines three signs of spiritual immaturity. Not being stable when life gets difficult. Easily giving in to temptation when worldly desires seem more attractive. And becoming indifferent when our will is challenged. These signs hold us back from stepping into the next phase God has for us. Pastor Neil encourages us to take a closer look at our walk with Christ. Are we growing? Or are we stuck in comfort and spiritual immaturity? It's time to move forward. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson, Our Divine Next, Part 6.
All right, please, we go back to our lessons on the Divine Next. Everybody say Divine Next. We understood that in life, there are always going to be a next. It can be a demonic next, a default next, or what we call a divine next. Our focus is on what God wants to do, the divine next. And we define the divine next as God's intentional, purpose-filled life for us, that we will see His progressive will working in our lives. Amen. In our last lesson, which occurred 2 weeks ago, we did talk about the fact that God's divine next for you and I is so that we... Anybody can tell me? So that we... That we grow up. You don't want to grow. That we what? Turn to the person sitting next to you, grow up. You see, you are refusing to say it. You will grow. You have to grow. Amen. We did establish that when you give birth to a child, after 10 years and they are still sucking pacifier, we all think something is what? We think something is wrong. But if we are going to be honest, the way we behave, most of us, if you sit down, you realize that you are sucking pacifier at 20 years old. We are doing it. And today I want to show you what I call the portrait of immaturity. Portraits of immaturity. I would show you three people in the Bible who were into God's work, but you could see clearly that they were not maturing. Amen. My focus is that I'm going to use the natural stages of growth to illustrate this truth to you. Now, using the natural stages, would it be outside of Scripture? The answer is no, because the Scriptures tells us that at a level, we are babies, we are infants. Then he talks about maturity. The Bible doesn't use all the stages. It's either you're a baby or you're mature, all right? But I want to show you how some of us are stuck in what I call... We are adolescents who are stuck in a matured body. After so many years, you have a matured body, but you behave like an adolescent. Turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them it's time to grow up. And say this finally to them, stop playing church. Natural growth begins with being babies or infants. Do you agree? Then from there, we become toddlers. Then we become what? Children, then we become adolescents, and then we move into adulthood. There are several stages of adulthood, but I'm not going to go into that. So let's define the term I'm using, right? Maybe you don't want to use the phrase portraits of immaturity. Simply say adolescent trapped in an adult body. You are trapped in an adult body. Everybody knows you are old, but you behave like a child. Christians who can bear grudges for 20 years, you were a baby. Today I came here for you. Let's learn God's word. I'm not running away. I'll stay here and teach you, but I'll get you in your face until you get better. Until you? Let's get into it. How to identify an adolescent trapped in an adult's body. Are you here with me? The book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 5. Let's read a few verses. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verses 11 to 14. The writer says, there is much more I would like to say along these lines. He was speaking about the fact that Jesus is our high priest. And he says, I want you to learn to approach the throne of grace. And he says, there is more I want to say, but I can't say it. Why? Let me read verse 11 again. There's much more I would like to say along these lines, but you don't seem to listen. So it is hard to make you understand. You have been Christians a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you have dropped back to the place where you need someone to teach you all over again. The first principles in the Word of God. You are like babies. I'm actually upgrading you by calling you an adolescent, but the scripture calls you what? A baby. You are like babies who can drink only milk, not old enough for solid food. Let's pause. God will forgive you your sins is milk. Grow up and walk in purity is solid food. So when we teach God's word and you get angry over talking about righteousness, you are a baby. Oh, no, I upgraded you. I gave you adolescent. But God says you are what? A baby. How many of you parents sitting here, if your kids are still sucking on pacifier by now, you will get worried, won't you? So you understand why I'm worried. Because I watch some of you, the things we say, the things we do. And sometimes I say, I have modeled it. God has helped my little soul. There are many of you who offend me, but I close my eyes to all of it. Why? Because that's not important. The real important thing is walking with God. Because you will never grow until somebody offends you. Then you know you have patience. But if you run around and say, fruit of the Spirit is in me, I have patience. Until somebody really makes you mad, you will never know that you are. And I'm sure I'm offending you too. So if I have gotten over yours, why won't you get over mine? And the other person sitting next to you. It's time to what? So the writer here is saying, you should have been teachers by now, but you are still being taught. You hear people say things like, I'm leaving that church. I'm not talking about here. And I want to go to another church because I'm not being fed. Only kids are fed. Adults feed themselves. The fact that you walked out because you are not fed, you just said, I'm a kid. Do somebody else feed an adult? The only time you see an adult being fed is because they are sick in bed and can't walk. So can I say that if you claim you are an adult, you are matured, and you are being fed, then you are sick. I know they are hard words to take, but I want us to work on ourselves. And get better. I said, work on ourselves and do what? Get better. Verse 13 says, and when a person is still living on milk, it shows he isn't very far along in the Christian life and doesn't know much about the difference between right and wrong. He is still a baby. Ooh. You will never be able to eat solid spiritual food and understand the deeper things of God's word until you become better Christians and learn right from wrong by practicing doing right. I don't remember the last time I prayed for my needs. It doesn't mean all my needs are met, because I have understood that when you walk with God, He promises to take care of your needs if you seek first His what? Kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom is not coming to church. It goes beyond that. Sometimes I'm tempted to go and pray about my needs. Then it hit me that that's not important. He said He would take care of it. I have to trust Him to take care of it. Let me do what He's asked me to do. And from today, you must grow. Amen. Don't just say amen or grow. Yes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's look at this issue again. In 1 Corinthians 3, look at the first three verses. Read with me. I'm reading from the Living Bible. It says, "Dear brothers, I've been talking to you as though you were still just babies in the Christian life, who are not following the Lord, but your own what?" So when you are following your own desires, the scripture says, you're a baby. You're a baby. You hear people say that, use your common sense. They are telling you to be a baby. They are not helping you. Is it okay if I come into your prayer room today? Now you are saying, huh? No. I'll still teach you. "I cannot talk to you as I will to healthy Christians who are filled with the Spirit." So he tells you that mature believers are filled with the Spirit. He didn't say they speak in tongues, because the two are very different. Verse 2, "I've had to feed you with milk and not with solid food because you couldn't digest anything stronger. And even now you still have to be fed on milk, for you are still only baby Christians, controlled by your own desires, not God's, me, myself, and I." Today, I want to just take my time and show you something really out of scripture. Everybody open your Bibles, take notes, write it down. Bring your phone out and write it down. Grow. I said what? Stop telling other people, "Why do you guys pray so much?" You are supposed to pray so much because Jesus said it in Luke 18. Men ought always to what?
Pray.
We need to stop this church thing. I am not interested in having church with you. I want to show you God's way. When I was growing up, they taught me something. If you want to sin, sin well. If you want to be a Christian, Christian well. What he is trying to say is that if you want to be a child of God, be it for real. And if you want to sin, sin. So when you go to hell, you know you did it and you are there. But don't be in between and then end up somewhere else. Because Jesus said it, "I will spew you out of my mouth because you are neither hot nor what? Or cold." Whenever you take any adolescent, there are three characteristics you find. Number one, they are very unstable. When the going gets tough, they give up easily. So one sign of immaturity is instability. Secondly, they are irresponsible. When the world becomes appealing, when there's temptation staring at them, they easily give in because they think enjoyment is all they see. An older man, when I was growing up, said this sentence in English. It didn't sound right, but I'm going to say the way he said it and then explain it to you. He says, "A wolf, you know, get bone, but the day in bone go chuk you now, what?" Now, when you think you're having things on a silver platter and it's coming easy, it's called awoof. Then he says, that awoof doesn't have bone. In other words, when you are chewing chicken that doesn't have any bone in it, it goes really quickly, correct? But don't forget that no matter how awoof it is, there is a bone somewhere. And one day that bone will chew you. Then you will know that whatever kind of meat you have, you need to take your time to chew it. It is a simple way of saying, do not meddle around with sin, because one day the bone of sin is going to chew you. You get stuck on it. So every adolescent, every immature believer, you find instability, you find irresponsibility when there's temptation. And thirdly, there will be indifference. And this is the one I want to push on. There is what? You all love me? We came here to rejoice today. And I want us to rejoice, putting our sister's miracle into its proper perspective. Do not call my name because I am not God. I don't do miracles. Amen. Did you hear me? All right, so the three things, three characteristics or traits of the adolescents is one, instability. Number two, irresponsibility. Number three, indifference. Let me walk you through the word of God. Say this after me. John Mark, Demas, Diotrephes. These three individuals illustrate to us those three things. John Mark illustrates to us instability. Demas, the Bible says he loved the world, so he deserted. He illustrates to us what I called irresponsibility. Because there's trouble, he runs away. And the last one is what characterizes most of us, diatrophies. People who want to be leaders, but would disrespect other leaders. Let me go through really quick and get out of your way. So first of all, let's make the case for instability. Are you with me? It's like musicians singing and telling, praise the Lord, hallelujah, let us sing and warm ourselves. The song is not for warming. We are worshiping a king. And I've said this over and over. I don't know why it's not sinking into your Noah. People will say, we've sung this song so many times. It's not for you. It's for him. Let him complain. Didn't he say, come before me, we're singing? So whenever we are growing, it is never about us. Anytime something is about you, you are not growing. You are a baby. Why did they hurt my feelings? You are not the only one who have feelings now. The case for instability. Are you there? Let's look at John Mark. Look at Acts chapter 12. I'll be out of your way soon. Now, in Acts chapter 12, we read about the fact that the word of God was spreading. All right? He said, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish. Look at verse 25. But when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called what? Mark. Good. So this guy was working with Paul. Let's go to Acts chapter 13. The Bible says they were fasting and praying. The Holy Spirit separate for us what? Paul and Barnabas for the work I have what? Call them. Look at verse 4, Acts 13. Do you see it? He said, the two of them, talking about Paul and Barnabas, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogue. John, that is John Mark, was with them. Did you see that? So the scripture says, as they proclaimed the word of God, they met a sorcerer. His name is called Elymas. He was the advisor to the governor of the day. So don't ever make a mistake that the governor sitting there, sometimes the advisors, you all don't want us to say the truth. They are demons advising governmental authorities. So Paul and his friends, so that would be Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark, right? They confronted a guy. He was overpowered. And then the Bible says, right after that, John Mark said, I'm out of here, man. Because I thought that I was following these guys. The Holy Spirit have sent us. The work is going to be very good. But the kinds of things we are meeting, this is not me. That's an immature believer who runs away when things get rough. And most of us, okay, some of us, we are like John Mark. We run away when things got tough. How many of you are running away because it's getting tough with your children? It's a sign of immaturity. You are not a parent yet. How many of you are running away from your marriage because it got tough? Stay in it. Because don't be an adult. Everybody see you. You look like an adult. But inside, you are a child. You are an adolescent. You are very unstable. Those who are matured are stable. No matter what happens, they stay. They will cry, but they are stable. I'm not saying they don't cry. No. They will cry, but they are what? Stable. Because they know God will some way, somehow, what? Come through for them. Amen. So in Acts chapter 15, look at verse 36, the Bible says that later on, Barnabas says, oh, let's go get John Mark. And Paul says, we're not doing that because that dude ran away when we needed him. Some of you, you run away when I need you. Yet when you need me, you call me at 1 a.m. to stand up. Today we will have the talk. For some reason, you expect that I have to rise up, and I will. But why would you run away when I need you? I remember when my mom passed and had gotten to Ghana, and I think most of you knew that she had passed. I didn't know. I got to Takoradi. They took me to the morgue, and I was standing by her body, and I still got phone calls about couples who were fighting, and I told the people, and I said, can you guys hold off a little bit for me? Don't put her back. Went to deal with the couples, prayed for them, and finished and went back to continue my crying. That is what I've been called into. And I am not saying you have been called into that. But if you are my John Mark, why are you running away when things get tough? It's a sign of what? Immaturity. Grow up. Number two, really quick. Let me get out of here. The case for irresponsibility. Demas. Go to the book of Philemon. Philemon is before Hebrews. If you can't find it, do look there. There you go. Table of contents. You'll be there. 23 to 25 says something about demons that is Demas that is important. He says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark. The same John Mark, right? So it means Mark changed. So I pray that the John Marks will change. Are you with me? It says, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. So these were people who were working with who? With Paul. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 9 to 11. Something happens. He says, do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, he has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Some of you have deserted this church because you love alcohol. You know when you come here, this man will say, don't drink it. Do I need to stop? At least I got one witness. He said, I can speak, so I'll speak now. One of the greatest signs of immaturity is that when temptation is walking around, you simply give in. Man, can I address you? Because my wife won't let me have whatever with her. I have to go look for anything else I find in skirt. I get it. The women haven't done well for doing so. But why can't you control yourself? Because those who walk in Christ, the last time I checked, self-control was one of the gifts of the Spirit. Why are you quiet now? Self-control. Isn't that one of the gifts of the Spirit? Galatians 5 is there. And you were meant to change your behavior. Change your... Man, I just spoke for you. I thought you'd talk more. Change your behavior. So the adolescent who is trapped in the adult body is unstable. And then secondly, they are irresponsible when sin shows at the door. But finally, and this is the one I want to talk about really, they are indifferent when their will is challenged. And it's exemplified by the guy called Diotrephes. Let's all say his name. All right, this scripture, I'm not just going to read it. We will all read it together. 3 John is only one chapter. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. You ready? Read. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he's doing. Spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and put them out of the church. Could it be that you are Diotrephes? Remember, it is the Apostle John who was chosen by who? Jesus. And somebody is saying, I refuse, I won't recognize that. I'm quiet for a reason. I want it to sink. How sometimes we allow our friends and people to recruit us to hate those they hate. Please forgive me. It's only a fool who hates somebody who has done nothing to them. Because your friend don't like them, you don't like them. Why? I think either Nelson Mandela or Martin Luther King, one of them says, I have tried hate and I tried love and I realized that hatred is too much of a burden, so I chose the way of love. Aren't you tired? Yet, let us pray in the name of Jesus. I bind. You are binding with that behavior. Even I'm sure when I'm standing here correcting, you are mad. May the Lord have mercy on you. I am not that better. But at least some things we must cross. Some things we must what? Don't let nobody recruit you. You find one person quit church, then their friend will quit church. Then the other friend will quit church because they have been recruited. You got to be kidding me. When they go to hell, you go there too. Will you? We need to be cautious. Do not become a diatrophist. Someone who says, I will even ignore the authority that God has what? Has chosen. And not just that. Verse 10. He said he is not satisfied with just that, by refusing the authority, but that he even refuses to welcome other believers. You form cliques. If the people are not in your clique, you push them out. If Jesus formed a clique, will you be born again? Will you be born again? So from today, cancel the cliques and walk with Jesus. Cancel there and walk with Jesus. Some years back, somebody called me, when will you join our old students group? I said, no. What is their purpose? Oh, we will help the old school. I said, send me the bill. I'll pay. But I'm not joining a group that some woman will keep tempting me till she gets me out from my wife. There are things you are joining that are destroying you, and you are just doing it because you are afraid people. People will talk, or when you die, they will tell you how crazy you are. So stand up to them right now. I want to ask you, are you a John Mark, a Demas, or a Diatrophist? Which one are you? When your will is challenged, because everything is always about me, myself, how I feel, how I feel, how I feel. So when it is challenged, how dare him, that short man. Let me address a few things and I'll say. If you have been born again 10, 20, 30. You know, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that he said, I could not speak to you unto spirituals. If you follow the dates in which the Pauline epistles were written, the first time he went into that church to the time he wrote was 5 years. Minimum 5 years. Paul couldn't take it. You need to grow. After 5 years, you get so angry that when one sits on this road and the other one moves. Sometimes I'm watching and I see it and I'm still laughing that even me, a human being, had seen it. How much more him? It's time to grow up. The ushers didn't allow me to sit at my usual place. Which chair did you buy here? You gave offering, I get it. But there is a part of me that knows that some of these little things we do, they are not correct. They are not right. If Jesus was here, would he sit in a special seat? No, he wouldn't. The Bible says when he went into the synagogue that they gave him the scroll, he sat among the people, not in a special place. I am closing. Please listen to me. Everybody focus your attention on me, please, for 1 minute. From today, crucify me. Raise your right hand and say that with me. From today, Lord, help me to crucify me. Amen. Did you understand what he just said? In other words, when you live life, stop always talking about you and how you feel. Will your ego be hurt? Yes. Will you feel that people are disrespecting you? The answer is what? He says, it is no longer I that lives, but it is Christ that lives in me. So if you are getting hurt, then Christ is not living in you. It means you are living in you. But if Christ is living in you, some of you ask, Pastor, what can I do? But I know as soon as I pair you up with somebody, you can't even stand them. When will you help us so we can work? How do you preach to people you don't like? You tell me. Crucify me. Come on, say it with me. Crucify in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.